Matthew chapter 7, verse 15, beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns, or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth forth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, it's talking about a certain day of judgment, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. So in this passage of Scripture, that whole thing works together. And I want to remind you, because we're going to be making statements about the doctrinal implications of this passage, doctrinal applications of this passage. We're also going to be making comments about the spiritual applications of this passage. Just make sure you understand this. A doctrinal application is what that thing says in its context to the audience that it was addressed to. And sometimes that doctrine can be prophetic, in other words, something Jesus is prophesying about something that hadn't happened yet. Sometimes it is something specifically about that group of people related to Jesus at that time. That's the doctrinal application. The spiritual application is whatever you can draw out of it to do you some good today to prevent you from getting in trouble based upon what we're studying about false prophets. And those two are not necessarily the same thing. For instance, if we were going to make a spiritual application about false prophets and apply it to us doctrinally today, then what are you going to do when he says, many of them say to me, Lord, Lord, shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Well, you're not concerned in this life, you and I, with the kingdom of heaven. You want to know about it, but that's not your overriding concern. Your overriding concern is a kingdom called the kingdom of God. You must be born again. Except you be born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. It's a spiritual kingdom that we entered by the new birth. The kingdom of heaven is a kingdom that involves the earthly, literal, visible presence of the Lord Jesus Christ here. So he's talking about the kingdom of heaven in Matthew because he's here. He is a king entitled to a throne, and his disciples are with him. And he's given them warning about what false prophets can do to them. Is there any other time when we will have concerns about the kingdom of heaven besides this little 3.5-year period when Jesus Christ was talking about it? Any other time? The millennial, the 1,000-year reign of Christ. Why? The king of that kingdom will be here, earthly, literally, visibly, sitting on his throne with his constituents, with his people, and he will be running an earthly kingdom. He'll be the king over all the kings of the earth during that time. And so this concern here is about people trying to lead people astray concerning that kingdom. So we're going to make both applications. What specifically with this group of people? What specifically with our group of people? Now, in this passage, Jesus taught his Jewish disciples about false prophets. His admonition was, beware. Notice what he said in verse 15. Beware of false prophets. What does it mean to beware? Well, it means to be on guard. Be alert. Be alert. Why? Well, for one thing, false prophets are everywhere. Today, as they were back there in Jesus' day, the most noticeable false prophets were the Pharisees and the high priests. Because they had taken what God had designed in the Old Testament, which should have led them, the law is a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, it should have led them to look for Jesus Christ, but instead it led them to set up their own rules so that when Jesus Christ came, they regarded him as a threat and turned him over to Pilate to be crucified, see? False prophet. So he said, beware of them. Why? Because they're everywhere. As a matter of fact, when you read your Bible, you're going to find in your Bible there's lots of information about false prophets in there. And you want to know that when God takes a book like this, and this is all there is ever going to be written concerning God's written revelation to mankind, then you got to know something. if he keeps repeating something over and over and over again in this limited amount of words, he really wants you to pay attention to it. Aren't you glad you're in here? We're going to have soundproofing in those walls in the new church, aren't we? Okay. Do me a favor. Let's take. You can write these down, but I'm just going to show you a few instances where false prophets come up. I'm going to ask a few men to turn to a certain passage of scripture and read it real loud for us, and that way we don't have to spend the whole time all turning ourselves. All right. So we'll let Benny take Deuteronomy 13, verses 1 through 3. Gerald, Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 10 through 11. If you're taking notes, that's Deuteronomy 13, 1 to 3. Gerald, Deuteronomy 18, 10 to 11. Milton, 1 Kings 13, 18. 1 Kings 13, 18. David, Jeremiah 23, 25. John, Jeremiah 23, 14. Brian, Jeremiah 29, 23. George, 2 Peter 2, 1 and 2. 2 Peter 2, 1 and 2. Okay, those verses again, if you're taking notes, that's Deuteronomy 13, 1 to 3, Deuteronomy 18, 10 to 11, 1 Kings 13, 18, Jeremiah 23, 25, Jeremiah 23, 14, Jeremiah 29, 23, and 2 Peter 2, 1 to 2. All right. Now, notice in this little bit that you're going to hear, characteristics, just listen carefully as the men read, some Old Testament characteristics concerning false prophets. Okay, Benny?
If thou arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and giveth thee a sign of wonders, and a sign of wonders comes to pass, wherefore, whereof they spoke unto you, saying, let us go after other gods which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of thy prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God proveth you to know you whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul.
Okay. In that passage he says you got some false dreamers. And they use signs, miraculous, and they worship false gods. So that's some characteristics, see? Deuteronomy 18, 10 to 11.
You shall not be found among you.
Now listen carefully to the stuff that the types. Go ahead.
You shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that uses divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer.
Eight different things. Necromancer, like seances with the dead. Witches, diviners, observer of times, tea leaves. Prognosticators get involved with stars. Diviners, like divining rods, get involved with various mediums. All those means of trying to figure out the future. There are lots of them. Which president was it whose wife? Was it Nancy Reagan?
Nancy
Reagan. Yeah. That got involved with, familiar spirits?
He had signed the oath at midnight.
That kind of thing, yeah. 1 Kings 13, 18.
He said unto him, I am a prophet also as thou art. And an angel spake unto me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with thee into thine house, he may eat bread and drink water, but he lied unto him.
That was an old prophet, and it said, but he lied unto him. So, false prophets lie, Jeremiah 23, 25. Same thing.
I have heard what prophets said, and prophesied lies in my name.
Prophesied lies in my name.
I have dreamed.
They lie. Which kind of surprised you? That somebody would knowingly stand up and present himself to be a prophet, and then use his voice, his pulpit, his position to tell a lie. But he does. Jeremiah 23, 14.
I have seen also in the prophets of Jerusalem an horrible thing. They commit adultery and walk in lies. They strengthen also the hands of evildoers, that none doth return from his wickedness. They are all of them unto me as Sodom, and the inhabitants thereof as Gomorrah.
Surprisingly, they commit adultery. Surprisingly. And in so doing, rather than chasing sin out of the life of the people they preach to, they help the evildoer. All right, Jeremiah 29:23.
Because they have committed villainy in Israel, and have committed the adultery with their neighbor's wives, and have spoken lying words in my name, which I have not commanded them, even I know, and am a witness, saith the Lord.
Lies in my name, adultery, villainy. These aren't good guys, to say the least. George?
There were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of.
They bring in damnable heresies, not just off the mark a little bit, but the kind that leads to damnation. And he said, many shall follow their pernicious ways. They get up a big following. Not just an isolated little hole-in-the-wall type group. So they use signs, they worship false gods, they use various means of divination, they lie, they commit adultery, they bring in damnable heresies, get up a big following. This is a bad bunch of people. And the Lord said, beware. See? Now, in our lesson, what we want to see is we want to see clearly what Jesus said about the false prophets so that we can learn what the disciples learned about how to spot them. How to spot them. They had to watch out because false prophets can be hard to spot. And unfortunately, by the time you spot the false prophet, he's in so close, he can destroy you if you're not careful. So we want to know about that. The first thing the Lord said in our passage here in Matthew chapter 7, verse 15, is they're camouflaged. They're camouflaged. He said, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing. The camouflage. You know, whenever we go hunting, we wear something to look like the surroundings so that whatever we're hunting for can't detect us. You go dove hunting, you wear camouflage so that you look like the surrounding shrubbery and grass and trees, and that way the dove don't see you until it's too late. The whole purpose of camouflage is to get your prey in close enough where you can kill it. In spring turkey season, you can decoy a gobbler in, and you can use the call and all that kind of stuff, but their eyesight has increased to 12 power during that time, and so they're very wary. And you can camouflage, and honestly, when you want to get them in really close, you can't even blink because they'll detect that movement as something that is strange in the surroundings. And I can remember coming home from turkey hunts and my wife and kids laughing because we'd put on a mask that's camouflaged and you got these eye holes like that, but you'd have to paint your eyes. So you come in there, you look like a raccoon with all this green and brown and black paint in the eyeballs from underneath that mask. And everything had to be kept. But the whole purpose of that is to bring the prey in close enough to kill it. So you got to understand something. A false prophet, then, if he's camouflaged and dresses in sheep's clothing, never comes in like the big bad boogeyman. You know, he's the wolf that dresses up in grandma's clothes. They come in looking like one of the flock. They look like a sheep because they're in the presence of sheep. And the Pharisees were prime candidates. Keep your finger where you are and turn to Matthew 23:28. Matthew 23:28. They've got to gain your trust. See? Matthew 23:28. Even so, he said to the Pharisees, this whole passage is about Pharisees, even so, ye also outwardly appear righteous, draw ye in close, unto men. But within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity, which is no surprise because we already read the characteristics of false prophets. They're bad guys. Paul said in Acts chapter 20, when he was leaving the church at Ephesus to go on, that they had to be very, very careful. Look in Acts chapter 20. They had to be very, very careful about false prophets. You ever heard of an inside job? That's a thief that's helped because he's either on the inside or helped by somebody who's on the inside. Well, Paul was concerned about an inside job in Acts chapter 20. Look at verse 29 and 30, primarily 30. Paul said, I know this after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves, inside job, shall men arise, speaking perverse things. Why? To draw away disciples after them. The purpose in drawing disciples is to draw them to Christ, not after the person that's doing the teaching. Now, the problem, okay, we talk about them being camouflaged. The problem, you're in the book of Acts, go over to the book of Romans in chapter 16. The problem with false prophecy, prophets, if they're not going to come in like the big bad boogeyman, and then these perverse things they speak that Paul talked about in Acts chapter 20, we find in Romans chapter 16 can be very hard to detect. Romans 16 verses 17 and 18. They can be hard to detect because of this. Romans 16, 17, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. Why? They that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. Look at it. By good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. So the guy comes in very kind, very nice, very sweet. He works diligently to make sure that what he has to say is presented just so you can't figure out what he really is. He's a nice guy. Good words, fair speeches. One of the tops at this these days is over there in California in the Crystal Cathedral, if you ever watch him. He's tops. Really tops. Very, very positive. Very, very positive. But it's interesting, in that type of positive approach, nobody's a bad guy. You ever notice that? Everybody's good. And essentially everybody's going to heaven. And unfortunately, we learned last week that the road is really narrow, not broad. And so that kind of thing is very, very dangerous for people who want to be misled. But let me show you something. While these guys will talk to the sheep with good words and fair speeches, notice, when their true color comes out, it's when they're tangling with one of God's men. And all of a sudden, they don't have good words and fair speeches. Go to the epistles of John, 3 John. It's right there before the book of Revelation, 3 John. Once they get tangled up with somebody like Jesus or get tangled up with one of God's men like John the Apostle, they can't fake it anymore. Yeah, he's not. He'll mention him, but I won't run that trap, but it's a mixed up deal. He got an interview going several years ago with Billy Graham, and they got to talking about, and basically they said anybody that's true to their religious dictate, no matter whether they know about Jesus Christ or not, God's going to accept them because they're doing the very best they can. That's not that type. That's not biblical salvation. Power of positive thinking. Yeah. 3 John, look at verse 9. I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds which he doeth, prating against us how? With malicious words. And not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. Looked like a nice guy till one of God's men showed up. What kind of words did he have? They weren't good words and fair speeches, they were malicious words. So they're two-faced. Why are they two-faced? Because on the outside they look like a sheep. On the inside, they're a wolf. They're a wolf. They're camouflage. All right, now the second thing that Jesus warned them about false prophets is this. They're deadly. They're deadly. Look at verse 15 again. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. To raven means to prey on something, to hunt for something, to eat it greedily. I'll give you an interesting thing that happened to me when I was younger. A friend of mine and I had gone down to the ranch, and we were heading toward the San Antonio River bottom. And the place where we were was a high bluff that led down to the river. And we're sitting up there and we're visiting. We're just out in the middle of a pasture. And there's a doe and a yearling that are feeding together out there in the middle of this open field that's in front of the river bottom. And we're up on that bluff where we can see down. They're not even troubled by us. And we're just talking over old times, having a big time. And while we're visiting, I catch a glimpse of movement in the grass. And it's a coyote. And we visited a bit longer, and I looked over on this side, and there's another coyote, and I looked between us and the animals, and there's another coyote. There are three of them, and as if they were connected by walkie-talkie, they were timing their attack on that doe and its yearling. They're separated from everything else that was out there. They're timing their attack and coming in. It's wonderful to see how this thing is going. I'm just in awe. I'm thinking, how in the world? They're moving at the same time. They're always closing in equidistant. How in the world do they know this? I'm just shocked. And of course, it's daytime, which is unusual because coyotes normally do this kind of thing at night. And then all of a sudden, they got in close enough for the kill, because they're deadly, and they made their attack. Now, in just a minute, I'll tell you what happened. But they're deadly. They're like that, see? They're after the prey. Now, in this Bible, I'll show you one of them. His name was Caiaphas. Look in John chapter 11. John chapter 11, and look with me in verse 49. We're talking about false prophets. Watch this. John 11, 49, and one of them named Caiaphas, being the high priest that same year, said unto them, you know nothing at all, nor consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people, and that the whole nation perish not. And this spake he not of himself, but being high priest that year, he prophesied, see it? That Jesus should die for the nation, and not for that nation only, but that also he should gather together in one the children of God, and so forth and so on. Look at verse 53. Then from that day forth, what'd they do? They took counsel to kill him. They took counsel together to put him to death. He prophesied. He's a prophet. And he decided he's going to kill him. He's deadly. See, you can't even imagine that. People say, I don't understand this Allah thing and this Muhammad thing and this Islam thing. It's a false religion led by a false prophet named Muhammad. They come in with the appearance of peace and want everybody in the world to say it's a peaceful religion. But every time you turn around, another one of their adherents is blowing up somebody. You know why? They're deadly. See, it's not that difficult. He was a killer. Now, as flocks of sheep, normal sheep, with a shepherd are protected from attacks by the wolves, likewise, God's sheep, converts, are protected from attack by wolves when they've got a pastor, when they're part of a local church. Back to the story about what happened with the coyotes and the yearling and the doe. I'm sitting here and I am just glued on this deal. I'm thinking I'm getting ready to see a bloody, vicious mess. And right when they began their attack, a 10-point buck jumped up, got those horns thrashing around there, and chased off every single one of those coyotes until the doe and the yearling could get close to the trees, and then he ran in behind there and saved them. The whole time, we never knew there was a 10-point buck lying there. You couldn't see him. And how in the world he knew those coyotes were coming for the attack to do that, I have no idea. But you know something? It is a perfect picture of what goes on. You know why you and I belong in church? Because there's times when God will use this, what we do here, to protect you from a deadly wolf. To scatter them so you can survive the attack. That's why it is so vital when you lead a soul to Jesus Christ to get that young convert into church, because the predators typically prey on young lambs. And I've seen it. Young lambs which start out in good churches generally survive an attack from a bad wolf like that. But if they don't, they get so fouled up. I can remember instances here and in the other church where people came to me not long after they got saved and said, somebody came to me and started talking to me a bunch of stuff out of the Bible. Now I'm all confused. I said, let's sit down and get the Bible open. And in a little while, they weren't confused anymore and they didn't fall prey to such a vicious attack. It's a great thing. Not only the camouflage and the deadly, but also, according to our text, they are influential. They are influential. That doesn't mean that they're sick with 103 temperature. That's influenza. They are influential. Look at verse 22. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord. Now watch it. They're influential because they have these powerful gifts. Have we not prophesied in thy name? That's pretty powerful. And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name have done many wonderful works. Now I want to remind you something. Judas Iscariot was alive at this time. Jesus said he was a devil. He cast out devils. Judas Iscariot prophesied in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Judas Iscariot did many wonderful works. Have not I chosen you 12, but one of you is a devil? See? You're in a strange little time frame there. These guys are influential. What makes these camouflage wolves so very, very dangerous is that they have power that looks like supernatural power, and they use it in order to attract the attention of other people and draw up a crowd. And when they do that, they can convince people to turn away from the truth. And there are many ways that they do this, but in any way, if they can do it by the big following they already have or by some what appears to be supernatural gift, these things like with Benny Hinn and all that stuff where they get the deal on TV and then he waves the hand over and they fall back like that, and then people have recorded and said, but I really felt something, I really fell down. You probably did. There really was probably a spirit involved in it, but may I tell you something? It's not the Spirit of God. There are many people who can perform miracles that Jesus doesn't even know. He said, I never knew you. And it makes them extremely dangerous. Listen, you remember back there when Moses was doing the miracles and Aaron were doing the miracles in front of Pharaoh? There were a couple of magicians that came in and duplicated exactly the first three miracles. Do you know who their names were? Janus and Jambres. They're recorded for you in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 8. They did the same thing, and when they did, Pharaoh said, well, you see there. And he followed Janus and Jambres instead of the truth that was being preached by Moses and Aaron. In your Bible, turn to Acts chapter 8. I'll show you one of these guys. Acts chapter 8. Show you one of these guys. There was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery. What is sorcery? It's divination by the assistance of evil spirits. Okay, divination by the assistance of evil spirits. In other words, there really is something involved there. Used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that he himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed, big following, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. See it? You got to watch them. They're influential. Simon was. He got the whole city turned to follow him. During the tribulation, when the Antichrist is here, the beast is going to get up a big following by signs and wonders. Same thing, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. That's how he's going to get his following. All right, now, they're influential. So today, if you were to see something that's big and lavish and had a lot going on, you'd say, boy, man, God's really moving around here, man. God's involved. Or maybe not. Maybe not. But look, there's one other characteristic that the Lord deals with. They're cursed. They're cursed. He says here in verse 23, then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. See, Jesus said, I know my sheep. My sheep hear my voice and I know them. This guy's never worse. People say, oh, see, you can lose your salvation. This guy never was saved. I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. It looked good, but it wasn't good at all. The surprise is going to be when a lot of these people wind up in hell and people are going to go, whoa, what was that? Jesus Christ said, I never knew these guys. And he says the other problem is, or unfortunately the other problem is, that their followers get the same treatment that they do. If they wind up in hell, the people that followed them wind up in hell. If you want a verse on that, if you keep in notes, Jeremiah 27, verses 9 and 10, they get the same deal that the people that lead them get. Jeremiah chapter 27, verses 9 and 10. All right, you say, well, that's real good, preacher. I appreciate all that, but you left a big old hunk right out of the middle of this thing. Well, that's true. It's the main part. It's really the conclusion of the whole thing, and that's this. So how are you going to know them? If they're that camouflaged, that powerful, that influential, you know, that subtle with what they do, and yet they're cursed, how are you going to spot them? And the Lord said in verse 20, "Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them." And he gave you a parable so that you could distinguish a false prophet from the real McCoy. And he basically said it this way. It's the difference between a corrupt tree and a good tree. All right, down here in South Texas, do we have any corrupt trees? Wesatch, mesquite. You know what a mesquite tree is good for? It's good for sticking in a fire. That's what he said. Every tree that bringeth forth not good fruit is hewn down and cast in the fire. Verse 19 is great cooking, but that's, you know, and it makes great flooring. But as far as fruitfulness off the tree, it's a sticker burr, a big sticker. Wesatch, big old just thorns. They're all kind of those nasty things out there. Those are corrupt trees. Then we also have some great trees around here. We got grapefruit and orange, and we don't have apple down here, but citrus type fruits and things like that that grow, and some folks, I guess, grow mangoes, and those are fruit trees. Now, you know something I've never seen? I've never seen a banana on a Wesatch tree. They don't grow there. Why? A corrupt tree is incapable of producing fruit, good fruit. All it can grow is stickers and flowers and seeds that make more Wesatch. Likewise, when I've gone up to an orange tree, my neighbor had a real nice orange tree, big old plump round oranges like that. I never saw thorns growing on that tree. Why? It's a good tree. And a good tree cannot produce corrupt fruit. It's just not possible. And so the Lord said, you want to find out whether or not you're dealing with a good prophet or a false prophet. He said, I'll just tell you real quick, all you got to do is just check out the fruit that's growing on that tree and you'll know. In our day and age, because it's not going to do us a whole lot of good back then, they had to, you know, the Pharisees killed Jesus. That's fruit enough. Put the thorns in his head, see? But for us, in a spiritual sense, a false preacher today preaching work salvation, for instance, through religion cannot produce children of God. Can't do it. Likewise, a man preaching the simplicity of salvation in Jesus Christ and preaching the absolute truth of the words of God can't produce religious hypocrites. Why? When religious hypocrites show up in there, they can't stand that kind of teaching. They will move out. They'll move out. Or they'll become children of God and bear fruit themselves. It just can't happen, see? So people have always said, well, by their fruits you should know them, you know, and then they start looking at the outward appearance again. You can't check a false prophet by his outward appearance. He looks too much like the real McCoy. You've got to check deeper. You've got to check his fruit. You understand that? All right. Any questions about that? Any questions about that? All right, Father, we're sure thankful today for an opportunity to study your words, and we pray, Lord, that we'll take wisdom from these things, both understanding what Jesus Christ was teaching his disciples, but also, Father, to take good protection. Now that we understand the stealth of these false prophets, help us to be mindful, to beware, like he said, and also to be very mindful of our young converts, to be here to help protect. And we ask you to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Well, we'll take a little break and see you back here in a few minutes.